This Sunday, I'd like to draw your attention to a very early document of the Christian church called the Didache. Now, many of you probably have never heard of the Didache, and yet you're familiar with words from the Didache, because the Didache is the oldest example of the Eucharistic prayer outside of Scripture. The Didache is also where we draw one of the hymns that you may be familiar with. Father, we thank thee who hast planted. That's from the Didache. And the Didache, it's not very long. You could look it up. The Didache begins with a very stark and direct line. It says, there are two ways, one of life and one of death. And there is a great difference between those two ways. Now, I like to begin today reflecting on the words of the Didache because it really drives home the point that there are really ultimately only two options. See, we like to believe there's a million ways to accomplish things. Whenever a priest is doing marriage prep, and I guarantee you pretty much every priest has encountered this, couples will come to us and they'll sometimes very eagerly tell us that they have decided that they are going to mold their marriage in their own particular likeness. Uh-oh. Marriage is meant to form you. You are not to form marriage. But sometimes we approach these things backwards. Such is the plight of humanity. We keep messing it up. See, the earliest Christians knew that because of their fallen human nature, they would become slaves. And this is one essential point of today's readings. We will all become enslaved to something. Now, you think about that. We sometimes think of slavery only in a very narrow scope. But you think about the human heart, the human spirit, and we become enslaved to the stupidest things. It's that thing you probably take to the confessional again and again and again, and you're wondering, why can't I get out of this? Because you're human. Because this is the way it's been since the time of Adam and Eve on. See, Adam was the first king, and he royally messed it up. Catch that, royally? I have a sense of humor at 8 o'clock in the morning. Along comes Zechariah in that first reading, and he prophesies for the people. It's meant to be inspirational. He prophesies about the restoration of the Davidic kingdom. He prophesies about a king who will be the king of Israel and will restore everything. People, this is the same dream we have. We want to end injustice and violence and hatred. And what do we get? We get this totally binary situation in our politics. It's splitting. One is completely evil and the other is all completely good. And it depends on what party you're talking to as to who the evil one is. That's a sign of the fall of humanity. That is proof that we become enslaved. That's a harsh message, and I stand here today telling you that is the reality that you and I face. So why in the world, you named your parish this, people, Christ the King, why in the world would you possibly want yet another king? But the secret to that answer, and don't get me wrong, it's great that you're named Christ the King. Because we want Christ to be our king. We want to be enslaved in following him. Because that's a good thing. So go look at the readings again. It says that he came riding in on an ass. A foul, foal. How do you say that word? I never know quite right how to say that. But anyway, he comes riding in on this small, meek animal. You know why? Because he's coming into the city as a king in the time of peace. If he came in as a king in a time of war, he would have come in riding on a great stallion as a warrior would. But he doesn't. He comes in on an ass. My dad's a farmer, and he's raised a few of these asses. Not such a noble thing. But Zechariah's vision is of a king who is of peace. Now, this is different than any other king in history. It's different than our ideas today of politics, where one party's going to outdo the other, gain control, because it's always about control, power, influence, stupidity. Jesus doesn't come like that. He comes as a peaceful king. He doesn't come to conquer. He comes to invite. And that's why the gospel says to me, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." Well, who's burdened? All of us. Everyone, whether you're in a first world country or in a third world country, there is burden in life. Again, reflect on your sin. There you will find the burden of life. It's not easy to always live a life of virtue. Yet he says again and again to us, "Come to me." But he follows that by saying, "Take my yoke upon you." Again, he doesn't eliminate the fact that we will be slaves. But he invites us to a slavery in him, so that he can live through us, so that we can be an influence on the rest of the world. It's not an enslavement to your passions, to your wants and your desires, your need for control. It's an enslavement to the true King of Peace. It's a completely different idea. It's a completely new concept to approach kingship through utter invitation to peace. So we have to submit. We have to graciously offer ourselves holistically to the King. That means our family, that means our personal time, our work, our social relationships, our studies. Every aspect of our lives should be a gift to the King, because we acknowledge and we admit we are slaves. But we have the free choice to say who we will be enslaved to. And the Didache made it clear, there are only two ways, one of life and one of death.